Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
All homebrewers have a favorite commercial beer, but not everyone can make it. Welcome to the show that teaches you how, where you can challenge two masters, Jameel Zainasheff and Tasty McDole. This is the Jameel Show. Can you brew it? Now here's Jameel.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, back with another episode of Jameel Show, Can You Brew It?
With Tasty McDowell.
I am present and unaccountable.
Unaccountable?
Yes.
Yeah, we're...
You know, this beer I'm drinking is 10%.
Yeah.
Yes.
10% what?
Alcohols.
Oh, I thought it was 10% something else.
So, make this show quick. I'm not going to last long.
Well, and we're in our Lagunitas
extravaganza. This is, yes.
Yeah, our Lagunitas.
Just one Lagunitas beer after another.
Tasty had it better with Lagapalooza in the last show.
I think
Lagapalooza
fits better than the Lagunitas. Lagunitas has got to be a strange disease.
Yeah. Obviously
thing,
tropical.
Yeah. It's the thing, you're like in a tropical airport. You know, you're in the Caribbean or something.
Yeah.
You go into the airport bathroom, there's the dirty stall, and it's got like poo spread all over the walls.
It's just a hole in the floor, isn't it?
And you really got to pinch one off, and so you hover over the seat the best you can without trying to touch.
Yeah.
You pinch one off, because you had like the breakfast burrito. It plops into the bowl, and then like with a laser precision,
right where you
the
don't
water,
want it to
the
hit.
Water channels straight back up, hits you smack dab in Mr. Brown's eye, and in crawls the Singapore butt slug or whatever.
That's right.
You know, some tropical parasite crawls.
Next thing you know, it's coming out your ear.
Shawshanks its way through your balloon knot, and
Lagunitas,
and you got Lagunitas. You know, damn.
Yeah.
I got Lagunitas.
Oh, man.
Well, now that makes sense, actually.
Yeah, especially the way you describe it, Jameel. Yeah. You should write fiction.
I just tell it like it happened to me, that's all. I just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Little reality there. A little dose of reality in our enjoyable day.
I think I'm going to be constipated after that story.
Yeah, you're just going to hold it
I'm going to hold it for the whole trip.
You're like some 13-hour flight from New Zealand, and you're like, well, just hold it. It'd be just fine. Well, and speaking of holding it or being just fine, our good sponsor, Northern Brewer.
They know how to hold it.
Yeah, well, and probably every third show or so, they're just embarrassed to be our sponsor, but that's okay.
Doesn't mean they're not a good shop with a lot of good products and quick shipping and all that
kind
of stuff.
Yeah, and they support us, and if you want to keep hearing this fine programming and fine stories like the Singapore butt slug at the airport story, you want to get to get yourself to northernbrewer.com and let them know that you appreciate their patronage of this show by patronizing their fine products and buy something and throw a few kind words in their comment section.
You know, I noticed in there on the order comments that when you put something in there, it says this may delay your order if you put something in the box.
Right, right.
But I still put something in the box. I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't delay the order.
I don't think it counts for...
It's got to be a reason
to delay. It counts for special requests.
Right, like if you say, well, I like my grains ground twice or,
But to say, I love you for loving the BN...
No, that would be fine.
I think it speeds up your order. I don't know.
No, that's probably a good thing.
I'm not saying they've told me that. I'm just saying that,
Oh, and they guaranteed it.
So don't let that deter you.
I think it's double speed shipping if you mention how much you love the BN.
Yeah.
So throw that in the comments category. And support them for supporting us. It really is appreciated. Of course, you should also support your local homebrew shop. Don't forget them. They help get people into the brewing hobby, and And but you know, spread the love around and brew. You know, if you have to, brew twice as much.
There you go.
You know, I think that's the thing. And speaking of which, I think you know, Can You Brew It? We you know, with all these great beers that people are requesting, you go to canyoubrewit.com. You can go to canyoubrewit.com.
Everything starts right there.
Takes you to the Brewing Network.
That'll take you to whatever you're going to say next.
Right, but you can go to you know, you can email canyoubrewit@thebrewingnetwork.com.
Yes.
And you can request your favorite beers. Give us a little, you know, and don't just send you know, the name of a beer. Give us a little reason why you like it. Give us a little bit of, you know, something.
Get us excited about it.
Yeah. Because, you know, we got hundreds of beers on the list already. And, you know, the ones that are most popular and the ones that, you know, are kind of interesting with a little bit of a story, you know, we might go with those first.
Besides, if we select a beer, we always like to have, you know, the person who requested it or one of the people that requested it to call in and leave a message. And, if you have an interesting story, we're like, you know, you're likely to be the one to call in. So,
well, and Justin, what's our challenge today? Do we have somebody call in and request a beer from us?
Yes, we do. Here is Garrett challenging you guys for today's show.
Hey, Jamil and Tasty. This is Garrett from Santa Barbara. I love the new show. Calling to request a Can You Brew It clone. I'm a big fan of Lagunitas, and I especially like their brown sugar. It's kind of a big beer with a very distinct brown sugar flavor. Actually, if you read the bottle, it has a little quote on there that says, "Feeding brown cane sugar to otherwise cultured brewery yeast is akin to feeding raw shark to your gerbil. It is unlikely to occur in nature without human intervention, and it looks weird besides, but it happened, and now it's too late." I really like this beer, and every time I've ever brewed with brown sugar, the flavor seems to kind of fully attenuate out. So, curious to see how this would be brewed, and I think it could also apply to things like honey, maple, etc. Any help would be great. Can you guys brew it?
Now, that is your challenge with one correction, Jamil.
Yes.
While the beer may be brewed with brown sugar, it is actually called brown sugar. And let's get that right for our creative folks over at Lagunitas. Brown sugar.
Yes. With a S-H-U-G-G-A and a little apostrophe.
It's almost German. I don't know what they have going on.
It's almost German.
That's your challenge.
Well, and I think Garrett, you know, he's requested, you know, a fine beer. I actually, you know, the first time I tasted this, I was like, wow. It's like really tastes a lot like brown sugar. They must be pouring a whole ton of it in there.
You would think.
You know, how are they getting that flavor? And I was very curious myself. You know, I'll knock back a bomber of 10%,
yeah,
or 9.5% beer, and you know, it makes me very, very happy and very relaxed.
Too relaxed, probably.
Too relaxed, yeah. Yes. No, and
here, have some more.
It's yeah, I find there's a lot of kind of malt flavor to it, and real kind of you know, that brown sugary crystal malt, big, you know, with quite a bit of alcohol, but not really that fruity, you know, very restrained esters, even though, and a very subtle alcohol, not burning or hot for such a high ABV beer. So I found that to be you know, quite intriguing, and I enjoy this beer. And if I think our listeners who haven't tried it might go ahead and brew this and give it a shot.
Can I ask one of my stupid questions about this beer before you move on?
Yeah, the floor is open for
because this. I'm asking about the commercial version before you get into your clone.
Uh-huh.
First time I had this beer was a couple years ago. I loved it.
Uh-huh.
I had a couple of them. And I had enough to, you know, it's a high.
Somebody took advantage.
It's a high alcohol beer.
I know where this story's going.
Well,
I woke up and my butt hurt.
This really is one of my dumb questions. I'm almost embarrassed to ask, but I have to ask. You know, it's a different kind of a buzz you get out of a beer with that much sugar in it. This is my question. I almost felt more more.
Yes.
Is this really? Is it that stupid?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And you know, the types of sugars that yeast are consuming. You know, the amount of yeast, the temperatures, you know, growth rates, all this stuff really can affect the types of alcohols that are produced. So, you know, simple sugars can have an effect on the type of alcohols that are produced. So,
okay,
you know, essentially the yeast produce, you know, enzymes to help break down They are, you know, they break down the more complex sugars into simple sugars and then ferment them. So they're really fermenting the same type of sugar regardless. But, you know, there's a difference. You know, the energy that's used to, you know, process those sugars, you know, there's a lot of complexities there.
Okay.
So, yeah, it can make a different beer. It can result in certain higher alcohols, diesels, things like that. So,
I'm glad you said. I mean, I'm not saying I felt like Jerry Garcia or anything, right. But it was different. It was noticeably different.
No, I agree. Okay. I think that's quite a rational, very surprising from you.
Yeah,
quite
weird.
A rational comment.
Okay,
you know, compared to everything
probably
else,
just lucky guess.
Yeah, right. Maybe that.
Well, and speaking of lucky guess or lucky guests.
Yes.
Jeremy from Lagunitas joined us, and he helped us out with quite a bit of information.
What a great guy. Yeah, really. Yeah.
So what we'll do, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hear from the brewer at Lagunitas back after this.
Okay, so my double IPA has an ABV of 7.5 and a clarity of brilliant, so that's a plus 8. I pour it.
Sorry, looks like she found it unpalatable.
Shut up, Doug.
My creek gets a plus 10 versus girls because it's a fruit beer.
You can't open the bottle, and she walks over to the guy with the Pinot Grigio.
This sucks.
Ugh, I hate it when Greg's the brewmaster.
What's this? Non-Alcoholics Anonymous?
Dude, get out of here. We're in the middle of a brew session.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Have you ever been called upon to explain why it's named India Pale Ale? Do you burp Y-Yeast 3522 and Crap Cascade? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the Tongue Splitter.
I've got dry hops stuck in my braces.
And the Bourbon Barrel Porter.
Now on tap in the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com. White Labs, your source for maltose mowing monsters, announces the White Labs Platinum lineup for 2009. Looking for out-of-the-ordinary yeast to make the best beer possible? The Platinum strains from White Labs are only available for a limited time and make your homebrew stand out. Through February, find Australian Ale, Essex Ale, and Dusseldorf Alt Yeast. March and April, it's Nottingham Ale, Abbey 4, and Mexican Lager Yeast. And May through June, don't miss Premium Bitter Ale, Belgian Wit 2, and Belgian Bastogne Ale Yeast. Keep up with all the great yeasts in the White Labs Platinum Program at whitelabs.com, where you can also join the White Labs Customer Club. Brew with the freshest and most unique yeast with the White Labs 2009 Platinum Strains. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brewpub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brew Pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tail Wagon Amber Ale and Catherine the Great Imperial Stout, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and happy hour all day Mondays. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub where you'll feel at home.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
I'm here with Jeremy Marshall, head brewer of Lagunitas Brewing Company. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, excellent.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just got off a brew shift brewing Pilsner tonight at the brewery.
Ah, the Pilsner. It's another great beer. And I'm not surprised that Lagunitas is perhaps one of the most requested breweries for Can You Brew It? We get a lot of people asking for a lot of your different beers.
you know, you got quite a collection of very interesting, very unique, very delicious beers in your lineup. How did you become the head brewer at Lagunitas, Jeremy?
Well, it's a story that it goes similar to a lot of other brewers, especially in this area. I was an avid home brewer for many, many years, and was, of course, home brewing to get around the, 21 years old to buy beer. So at age 17 and 18, I was already making my own and discovering, early on that as a home brewer, you could make stuff that was, far superior to a lot of the stuff you could buy, or just you could be completely unlimited by your imagination. And if on a whim you decided you wanted to, throw some chocolate into your kettle, nothing was there to stop you, and sometimes you do it and it would be excellent, and very rarely did anything ever turn out, weird. And that was just so encouraging that I was doing terrestrial archaeology, which was in my native area, which is the Southeast, and that was kind of a brutal job filled with insects and heat, and was looking at I want to go to school for something else, and was attracted to the Davis program. Came out and visited and really fell in love with just this, the area, the Bay Area in Sonoma County, and really liked what Davis had to offer between Dr. Michael Lewis and Charlie Bamforth, who's also known as the Pope of Foam, and just two really, really brilliant people that just light up the room when they come in. And so had the pleasure of doing the Davis program, and then was shooting out letters at a possibly maybe a better time than now. I'd say craft brewing was going through something of a renaissance at that time. This was 2002-2003, and so it was relatively easy to get a job. Was just shot out some funny letters to all my favorite breweries, which included Lagunitas and also Rogue and a bunch of other basically my inspirations and places I always dreamed of working, and put little funny lines in there that even if I don't hear back from you, I'm going to basically keep drinking until there's a job opening. And Lagunitas was one of the first people to respond back, and two interviews later, I kind of started as a, just doing real kind of crucial, but seemingly compared to brewing, minor stuff, but like cleaning tanks and draining yeast and dry hopping, and I actually worked on the bottling line too, and I realized that just how important that stuff is. I mean, there's no brewing without cellar work, and actually, I find to this day that a monkey can make warts, but it takes a really skilled kind of mindset to handle beer. Because mm-hmm. beer is really not that forgiving, so learned all that stuff, and just through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and hard work, and growing with the company, just kind of stepped up from I would say entry level seller to kind of lead brewer to head brewer, and that would be maybe about head brewer, about a year and a half ago, and have been ever since, and been through a lot of, it's been one wild, exciting ride, I can definitely say.
So I think that's a good thing for Lagunitas, because the beers have reached a level of perfection the last few years, I think, are just fantastic. I think you've really doing a great job out there, and I can see why all the listeners have been requesting beers from you. One of the most requested has been the Brown Sugar. And that beer, I the first time I had that, I think, was back. I had gallbladder surgery, and I was laying in bed.
That's not because of the beer, I hope.
Tortured. It was either gallbladder surgery or a vasectomy. It was one or the other. No, it was a vasectomy, I think. And I was suffering, and my wife brought me a bottle of brown sugar, a Bama of brown sugar, and that was something special. Laying there, propped up, the bag of ice, and a fine imperial pint of brown sugar. So what can you tell us about how you brew brown sugar?
Well, it has a very interesting story behind it. Like a lot of other Lagunitas beers, it started as a mistake. And basically, it's before my time, but the brewers were brewing our gnarly wine. Mm-hmm. And that beer needs a target strength of between about 26, 27 Plato. And something was wrong with the mill or the mill setting. Not really ever sure what actually happened, but they were way off. They were coming in somewhere around 18 Plato. And so they called up the owner, Tony McGee, and kind of just honestly told him what happened. We're brewing gnarly wine. We're way off on our sugar content. Please advise. And Tony instructed them to drive down the street to the corner to Safeway and to buy all the sugar that they had, and right down to the little packs that you put in your coffee. And most of what they had was a lot of brown sugar, and to put all that in the kettle. So that's what they did. They bought all the sugar, they cleared out the aisles, and just poured all that in the kettle and finished the beer up as normal, took the strength. And it was a little weak to be a gnarly wine. It was coming in around 23 Plato. And so they knew right off the bat that they had something different, and they let it finish out, and they tasted it, and they said, wow, well, this is definitely no gnarly wine, but this is good on its own. Let's just give it a crazy dry hop, and we'll call it brown sugar, and that's pretty much how it happened.
Well, one of the things that is amazing about that beer is you really do taste the brown sugar. You know, a lot of times when you use those kinds of sugars, it takes a considerable amount to get the flavor of brown sugar coming through. And a lot of times, unless you're adding an insane amount, I think it just doesn't show up at all. And I'm surprised how much it shows up in that beer.
Well, two things is the crystal malt spectrum that's in there is kind of, it brings the sugar forward. And I think you're going to find that there's less actual brown sugar in there than you think. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the brown sugar itself is basically 100% fermentable. So if you make a 10 Plato solution of it and hit it with some really strong champagne yeast, it's going to ferment out almost completely. Mm-hmm. But depending on how you add it and how much caramelization you get in the kettle, and the fact that using brown sugar instead of just dextrose or sucrose, which doesn't have that caramelization already. That's kind of what really brings those flavors forward and really makes them pop out.
Mm-hmm. So what's the grain bill like for brown sugar?
Okay, I have this broken up into percentages so that it can work for anybody.
Okay.
I'm looking at our standard recipe is a 60 barrel, which in order to have that after evaporation and true pile losses, we need about 76 hectoliters. But percentage-wise, it's a 71.6% two-row base malt,
mm-hmm.
about 17% malted wheat, so some adjunct there, about 4.5% Munich, and that's a 10 Lovibond Munich, 4.7% Crystal 5060, one of my favorites is the Crisp C60. Really good mm-hmm. stuff. 1.3%, so just a pinch, of the Crystal C120. And once again, if you can get Crisp, that's kind of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And also 1% of the Crystal 135-165, and that's a Hugh Baird product from England.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it for the grain bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about
the C120 and the hops are? So we're going to do grams per liter here, mm-hmm. and we're pretty old school in how we do our hoppings. We do a 1-2-3 for a bitterness, flavor, and then a whirlpool or aroma
mm-hmm.
addition. So let's start with the bitterness addition. It is 0.36. grams per liter of Willamette, and in order to help not have so much true losses, we're actually using hop extract. So this is the only kind of, you're going to have to use some translation skills on this one, because I'm not sure that it's the super critical CO2 hop extract. I'm not sure how readily available that is to home brewers. But for the 76 hectoliter kettle full, we're adding 3 pounds of pure alpha. So that's literally like 3 pounds of alpha. So that would be the equivalent of adding, 30 pounds at 10%.
Mm-hmm. What is the IBUs of the beer?
It comes out at about 55. It's just the wort is so viscous at 23 Plato. Those IBUs really resist. You just don't get good saturation. You know, the stronger and stronger it is, the harder and harder they are to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not really a real bitter beer,
right?
But just that the extract in the Willamette's only the first hop edition, so I can go forward with the middle sure. and the whirlpool.
Uh-huh.
So the middle hop edition is 0.3 grams per liter of Horizon. And if Horizon is not available, that could be the case, you could use a Nugget. And the one we're using is 12% alpha. I should also mention that the Willamette that we use is 4.6% alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the middle hop edition is 1.2 grams per liter of Willamette. So that's a pretty big addition, especially in comparison to the other so far.
Right.
And then for the whirlpool hopping, and so that's going to be just right at cast out, or even better is to whirlpool over and then toss these hops into the whirlpool while it's still spinning, like just as soon as it's done transferring over.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding a 0.15 grams per liter of Horizon, 0.9 grams per liter of Centennial, and 0.5 grams per liter of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And the Liberties are about 4% alpha. The Centennials are about 9% alpha.
Mm-hmm. And how long is your entire boil?
We're doing about a 90-minute boil.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't talked about the brown sugar yet.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioned surprisingly little. It's I broke it down to grams per liter, and it's 12 grams per liter, and we're adding that with those middle hops, with those Horizons and Willamettes in the very middle. And the idea is to get a little bit of, not just sterility, not that there's much living in the sugar, but, it's going to get boiled for 45 minutes. And also, it's going to be quite a bit of caramelization
mm-hmm.
coming from the boil.
Mm-hmm. And that addition is around, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing 30 to 45.
Okay.
On our old brew house, it was a 60-minute boil, and we added it at 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what was your mash temp also?
Okay. We've actually changed things a little bit between our old brew house and our new brew house, but I think the way we did things on our old brew house is a lot more translatable into what homebrewers do, because we're doing a temperature program mash currently,
mm-hmm.
so we're mashing in at 130, and then we're ramping up to 145 and holding it there for about 20 minutes, and then ramping it up to about 155, holding it there for 20 minutes, and then going to 72, holding mm-hmm. it there for 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and that's 72C, sorry. I use both. That could be a source of confusion. And then all the way up to 78C for pumping over to the water tun. So that describes the way that it's done on our new system. But on our old system, it was just a single infusion mash at 155 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. So that was where we struck the mash at. And, okay. You know, honestly, there's something kind of simple and just beautiful about a single infusion, single temperature mash. And with our fancy new German brew house, we are engaging in more German-like practices all of a sudden.
Yes,
it's kind of like we do it because we can. Yeah, we just do it because we can.
And what about yeast on this beer?
Okay, we're using a... I don't know the numbers that they call it, but it's mm-hmm. it's the really really flocculent English ale yeast. Very 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 popular. A lot of big craft breweries use this yeast. I don't really know the little number that white yeast or white labs, because they all kind of seemingly sell the same yeast. They just give them a different number.
Who are you sourcing it from? From white labs or white yeast?
We actually buy yeast from both companies, but okay. This particular yeast comes from white yeast.
Okay. And highly flocculent, real popular, I would suspect it's that English ale yeast. White Labs would be WLP02, probably.
No, we don't use the White Labs one, so I wouldn't know. If you said the white yeast equivalent... that's something I probably would need to look up.
Okay.
I don't ever remember them by number. I just remember them by name.
When what temperature do you ferment at?
We're fermenting slightly on the cold side, because at 23 Plato, it really likes to crank the esters and higher alcohols, and we like to limit those as much as we can. So we're doing 64 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what sort of finishing gravity do you get on that?
Typically, it's between 5 and 6 Plato.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. 1968 London ESB.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, yeah, that would be the equivalent of...
It's whatever, it's in the description. It's the one that says it flocks like a ton of bricks.
Okay. Great. Okay. And,
some people don't like that because they say it's a little bit sweet. And, mm-hmm. I can agree with that crowd. It's compared to the Chico, it's definitely a little bit more on the... it doesn't attenuate down quite so much.
Right. Yeah, and I would imagine in a beer like this, that really helps. Does the brewery use just one yeast, or do you have multiple yeasts that you guys maintain?
Oh, no, we use all kinds of yeasts for all kinds of products. We like to make sure we have at least, not counting the buggy stuff that's in the bourbon and wine barrels, mm-hmm. Which, we really want to keep that stuff where it is. We spent a long time trying to get those yeasts out of our brewery. It's kind of funny that now everybody's bringing them back in. But just in terms for commercial production, at any given time, we always have at least one or two ales. Usually one of those is going to be a Belgian. And then always, at all times, we keep our lager strain going for our Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
And as a brewer, I would like even more yeast. It doesn't particularly make my life any easier, because mm-hmm. to keep them alive, you have to brew.
Right.
And that means you have to schedule the tanks and everything. And it's a little bit of a nightmare, but it's like, from a brewer perspective, I wouldn't mind having, 5, 6, 7, or 8 different kinds of yeast strains at any mm-hmm. given time. But it seems like as it goes, 3, 4, 5 is the most we can manage and keep them all happy.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you run across some breweries that are almost terrified of introducing another yeast into their brewery, and worried that they'll get some sort of cross-contamination. But I think you guys are evidence of properly managed, you know, there's no problem with that.
No, we have no paranoia. For instance, if we brew into one of our large outdoor fermenters with a, what could be described as a wild type yeast, like a Belgian yeast, mm-hmm. and we conduct fermentation in there, and the next batch is, say, a lager or like an IPA, you know, just all you do is you follow the same CIP procedures that you would do for, you know, we don't do anything special. We don't have any paranoia about, you know, we don't think that yeast, like, takes residence up in the gaskets or anything like that, you know, mm-hmm. as long as you know what you're doing and you know, clean everything and make sure everything's clean before you sanitize, then there's never been a problem.
Yep. One question that everybody always asks is water. Do you do any special treatments to your water for this beer, or are you using Petaluma?
Nothing fancy. It's kind of interesting because if you think about it, Dr. Lewis actually was the person that originally said this, so I give him credit. But he said that the only thing unique to a brewery is the water and the people brewing it. And everything else is mass marketed. You know, therefore, the same Cascade hops and the same malts that I buy are available to all the other breweries nationwide. And there's some truth in that. So with that in mind, we never entertain the idea of stripping down our water to its you know, like with reverse osmosis. Mm-hmm. So we're just using good old-fashioned Sonoma County Water Agency water, which is Russian River water. So we're bringing that in as city water, and we run it through a giant commercial granular activated carbon filter. So it's mm-hmm. it's basically like a giant Brita, mm-hmm. and it grabs obviously all the chlorine, but we go through it at kind of a slower flow rate, and that makes it all kinds of other stuff. Not that there is any pesticides in the water, but if there were, it would grab them. It's actually a big, long list of all the stuff that, if it was present, that it would grab.
Right, and organic hydrocarbons.
Yeah, pretty much all
like
we
that.
Do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
We are going to Burtonize. So after the carbon filter, mm-hmm. both the we have some mash salts, and mm-hmm. and then we also, because roughly 50% of the, we're using calcium sulfate, mm-hmm. and roughly 50% of the calcium sulfate that you add to the mash is precipitated out with the spent grain. So mm-hmm. we'll add just a pinch of additional calcium sulfate in with the first hop addition.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kind of an effect of really bringing the hops forward. And what we're looking for is about 60 parts per million calcium in the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have that, you need to be a little bit higher than that in the fermentation tank, because a little bit's going to stick to the yeast, and you're going to lose some to froth and mm-hmm. to the biomass. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, calcium is critical to yeast being able to flocculate as well. So,
it's actually a little known fact is calcium is actually not required by brewer's yeast. But it does nothing but good things as long as you don't get too carried away with it. And, mm-hmm. To give you an idea, recipe here, we're adding 10 pounds of calcium sulfate to our mash, which is about, all said and done, almost 50 hectoliters.
Okay.
So that'd probably be right on par with just a standard gypsum addition for like a 5-gallon batch. I forget what mm-hmm. that is, is it a couple teaspoons? Or...
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Anything else you can tell us about brewing this beer? Any other tips for our listeners?
Well, I mean, we are adding some whirlflock or Irish moss.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for about, because it's 23 Play-Doh, is whirlflock available to homebrewers?
Yes.
You know? It is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
We're looking for about 40 parts per million, and we really like, we've tried a lot of that other stuff that's available, and we really like whirlflock because it's all natural, and it's just, it really works. I mean, the stuff mm-hmm. works. And We're adding that 15 minutes before the end of the boil at 40 parts per million. And we've done a lot of things with this beer in the past just to get it to yield out of the whirlpool. Because when we used to do it originally, we just had a lot of true glosses.
Mm-hmm. And that helps considerably, huh?
Yeah, making sure that the whirlflock is added at the right amount, and you know that, you know, keep in mind that adding too much of it does the same thing as not having enough. So just
right.
Because a little bit is good doesn't mean too much is better. And that once we got that dialed in, we saw our true glosses come down drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still pretty high, and that was the reason for the hop extract. But
mm-hmm.
That's a recent thing. We've only begun playing with that stuff recently. So,
mm-hmm.
like I said, typically those 3 pounds of alpha acid would have been made up by like 30 pounds of pellets at say 10% alpha.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Utilization curves the same.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the.
I didn't mention the dry hop. So.
Oh. Yeah, dry hop. Yeah, absolutely.
The most important part. Come on.
Yeah. Tell us about the dry hop.
So, So the dry hop. Basically, we're gonna let the beer ferment out till it's pretty much 95% attenuated,
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna drop all the yeast. So we're draining the cones to beer,
mm-hmm.
and then. We're gonna dry hop it at that point, and the idea is that it's only 95% attenuated, and that other 5% of attenuation helps scrub out any dissolved oxygen that you pick up when you dry hop,
mm-hmm.
and it does help. And we're hitting it. I'm gonna do pounds per barrel here.
Okay.
So we're using a quarter pound per barrel of Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter pound per barrel of Centennial,
mm-hmm.
and a quarter pound per barrel of Liberty, which is as dry hopping goes, that might be seen as a slightly unusual one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's basically a Hallertau, and it adds that kind of spicy character to the mm-hmm. to the beer.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Liberty.
Oh yeah,
great. Okay. Anything else?
And I would
should
say
be?
That, yeah. Other than the dry hop, I'd say that's about it.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
I do recommend a diacetyl rest with the yeast, actually, mm-hmm. on all the beers. Diacetyl rest.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Just letting a warm maturation phase towards the end of fermentation that typically overlaps with the essence oil extraction phase after dry hop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all your information about this wonderful beer, Brown Sugar. And I think our listeners will enjoy this one immensely. I know that it's one of my favorites. Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Yeah, anytime. And if anyone brews a clone, please bring it up to the brewery, and I'd love to taste it.
I think you'd be surprised at how many people show up on your doorstep with a bomber of clone brown sugar.
I love it.
Okay.
I love
great.
It. You know, it's a good thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I rolled a 15 and I get a +2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way.
You had to beat a 24. It's schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks. I just failed versus oxidation. Our party is fracked. Doug's the only one left and his beer is a Berliner Weiss.
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, drizzle, spalt, and fart Y-Yeast 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's beer and the sci-fi convention showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty crack cans.
Tasty crack cans.
Have you ever noticed the pathetic look on the face of the Brewcaster poster boy? That's the look of a child that survives on ramen noodles and homebrew. Subprime Meltdown doesn't even begin to describe what this kid has been through. He lives this grim existence for his army, the Brewing Network Army. Times are tough for everybody. It's like getting stuck in time 2 days before payday. Cash is tighter than a posted IOU stuck in a stripper's sweaty G-string. The unicorn's horn is limp and the rainbow has lost its color. But you can help change all that. If you were to take that sparkling change in your pocket and plop it on the table for the BN instead of the extra pint at happy hour, then the world could be a brighter place. When you buy a round for the BN, you buy a round for yourself and your fellow soldiers, and that's what it's all about. That and being entered into the reoccurring donor monthly raffle. So step up and start your own economic stimulus package. For just a few bucks a month, you can stimulate the unicorn, the rainbow, and a brewcaster. Hit that donate button just like you'd hit on that crazy bitch at the bar right after last call. You'll be really happy about it in the morning.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty crispness you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. It's exactly. So easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
The Brewing Network.
Now back to the challenge. Can you brew it?
We're back. We're talking Lagunitas brown sugar.
Or sugar. There's no R in this beer.
Sugar. All right. Sugar. Sugar.
Sugar. And
thanks to Jeremy at Lagunitas for sharing with us.
He's not holding back. I'll give him
No. He's giving us the full...
Straight scoop.
The full Monty.
Jeremy's cool.
The whole thing. The shebang. Absolutely. So, what did you get out of that interview, Tasty? This was your challenge.
Yeah.
And so, what recipe did you come up with based on this?
Well, here's what I got for the brown sugar. Well, I made a 6-gallon batch. 22.7 liters, and start out with a gravity initial gravity of 1.099 or 23.5 Plato. It's a big beer.
Mm-hmm.
Finished at 1.023 or about 5.8 Plato, and that's about 75% apparent degree of fermentation, which mm-hmm. is pretty good for the W or the yeast here, which is the
right. Yeah, that yeast
WLP 002.
That's about the, you know, starting to top out on that yeast.
Right.
Yeah, that was good attenuation.
It was. IBUs are about 54.9. Colors about 17.5 SRM. Alcohol comes out to be about 10.1% ABV. Did this with a 90-minute boil. I think that's, Jeremy does that at his thing. That's why, mm-hmm. of course, I do that all my beers, so it's...
Develop those... melanoidins that bring some of those caramel type flavors.
It's a big part of the beer, and then of course the sugar that's in there is, adds to that as well. So the pre-boil volume of this beer was 7 gallons, or about 26.5 liters. Pre-boil gravity was 1.077, or about 18.6 Plato. Had to get some grain, so I went out and got 16 pounds of Turo pale malt, and which is 7.26 kilograms. I got the 3.8 pounds or 1.72 kilograms of wheat malt, a pound of Munich malt, 10L, which are 454 grams, 1.05 pounds or 476 grams of Crystal 60. I think Jeremy mentioned that they use the Crisp C60, but mm-hmm. My homebrew supply store didn't have the Crisp malt, so I think these are... What do they have? This Great Western.
Yeah.
Okay, which I've been very pleased with those. I think Jeremy makes a good point, and other brewers have as well, that they get some really interesting things out of the crisp malts, and I think that they're probably right about
good
that.
Good quality malts. Yeah.
Yes, there. Another crystal malt, 0.3 pounds or 136 grams of Crystal 105. Then 0.23 pounds or 104 grams of Crystal 150. And also added to this beer is 0.61 pounds or 277 grams of brown sugar, the dark variety, mm-hmm. Not the light brown, but the dark brown.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to need some hops, so based on what Jeremy said, I went out and got 1.55 ounces or 43.9 grams of Willamette pellets, 4.1 alpha for 90 minutes. I did not have a Ryzen, but... Jeremy did suggest Nugget would be a good substitution, so I was able to get Nugget. My homebrew supply store found a 4-ounce package of those in the back of the cooler and let me get those. That was great. So I had a pretty good straight substitution there. So 0.35 ounces are 9.9 grams of Nugget pellets, 12.7 alpha for 45 minutes. Other 45-minute addition was also 1.1 ounces or 31.2 grams of Willamette pellets. Again, same 4.1 alpha. Again, 45 minutes. So there's two additions at 45 minutes. And the way we constructed this, that's pretty much the, you know, the end of the hops till the end of the boil. So at 1 minute, I added 0.12 ounces or 3.4 grams of Nugget pellets. Again, 12.7. Also at 1 minute, 0.4 ounces or 11.3 grams of Liberty pellets. Again, or those are 4.5 for, again, 1 minute. And 0.8 ounces or 22.7 grams of Centennial pellets, 8 alpha, again, 1 minute. And, you know, because every good beer deserves a good dry hop, we had a dry hop addition of 0.75 ounces or 21.3 grams of Cascade pellets, 5.4 alpha. 0.75 ounces of 21.3 grams of Centennial pellets at 8 alpha, and 0.75 ounces of 21.3 grams of Liberty pellets, again 4.5 alpha on the Liberty. Again, those last three are the dry hop. It's a pretty significant dry hop.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's about a quarter pound of hops there.
Yeah, it's
in the last minute and dry hop.
Yeah, Jeremy says, you know, like, pretty much a big late charge on hops and dry hop to bring all that out.
Uh-huh.
And So we took all those grains, we mashed them at a single infusion, like he suggested, at 155. I took 45 minutes to convert, which is probably took a little bit less than that, but I did it for 45 minutes because I must have had something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And raised it up to 168 and mash out, and let that sit for 10 minutes before I sparged at 170 for probably about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a nice good starter of White Labs WLP-002 English ale yeast. Could as well use the Y Yeast 1968 London ESB. And I fermented that at 64F, just what he said, or 17.8C.
Mm-hmm.
And let that go about probably 4, maybe 5 days. Saw a considerable drop in the fermentation rate. I took a gravity reading, and I was about 80% of my expected attenuation. So I started raising the temperature of the ferment up about a degree a day until I got to 70 degrees. And so that was like the end of 8 days, it's at 70 mm-hmm. for the rest of the ferment. Oh, by the way, the brown sugar I put into the boil at 30 minutes before flame out. I think he might have said 45, but somehow it just worked out that I used the 30-minute mm-hmm. mark. I think it was, you know, I had a really good boil going, and I thought I could smell some of the caramelization or of the brown sugar in mm-hmm. the in the boil.
Mm-hmm.
I was real careful about how I put it in because I didn't want it to scorch in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how I made the beer. I mean, he gave us a lot of information, mm-hmm. and you know, I didn't have the Horizon House, but the Nugget really worked out mm-hmm. good, I thought.
Okay. So we did a blind tasting here in the studio. And, you know, what's the consensus here? Justin, what did you come up with? Clone, not cloned?
You guys are going to hate me. I keep changing my mind on this beer,
too. We always hate you, yes. It doesn't really matter what you say. We're going to hate you no matter what.
Man.
If you drank more of it, you'd be more, you know, agreeable, I think. So.
That's true. I'm trying, actually.
Hey, your glass is empty.
This is a tough beer, and I think that it changes. I think that it changes every year for Lagunitas too. To be quite honest, I think that I've been drinking this beer for 7-8 years. I try to get it every year, and I think it changes for them. My first impression of this beer was not cloned. It's just not cloned. That was my first, and in fact, I thought kind of hands down, it's not cloned. It's too hoppy. It's a different beer. But. You know, the more I drink it, the more I
the more you get drunk, and yeah. then it really doesn't matter. Really.
Well, I've had brown sugar that tastes like this before, and I think it's that I've had it fresh. I've had it before the age. This is a beer that is best when it's aged, and I think the first year I had it, when I really enjoyed it, it was old. I didn't know anything about it. I bought it with, you know, last six pack on the shelf kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so I'm having a tough time saying cloned or not cloned.
Right. All right, if we compare it to the bottle we have,
commercial
beer.
Not cloned.
Not cloned.
Not cloned.
Yeah, I agree.
If that's my standard, it's not cloned.
Yeah, any reasonable person would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, the bottle we have, I mean, this beer is a seasonal beer for Lagunitas, and I believe it comes out in December. I think Jeremy mentioned that on the Lagunitas IPA segment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, April. So I wouldn't say the beer is old, but I'm just saying that it's you know, it's getting maltier as time over time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, like my beer, as we seem to be doing here, you know, as 16 days ago, it was boiling in my kettle. So it's fresh. Right. I mean, it's really fresh.
Right.
And I can say with all honesty that I have bought brown sugar and been disappointed that it was too hoppy,
right.
That it didn't have that pruny basement malt kind of flavor that I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why that's what makes me wrestle with it. But if my standard is the beer that we put it side by side, it's not clone, but yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing for me is all the examples of brown sugar I've had have been that kind of sherry, malty, you know, that it seems like it's got a lot of brown sugar to it. That and I don't think I've ever had it fresh. So when I, you know, tasted the bottle of the commercial example we have here, I'm like, well, yeah, that tastes like brown sugar to me.
Yeah.
And this other one is way too hoppy. And if, and
it's
if,
like an IPA.
And if prior to this, you would ask me, oh, give me a clone recipe for brown sugar, I would have done, you know, some pale malt. I would have done, you know, some darker crystal malts. I would have done a whole bunch of brown sugar. And I would have done one single hop addition at 60 minutes and nothing else. And I wouldn't have done all these late hop additions. There's a ton of late hop additions in here.
Let alone dry hopping.
Yeah. Because, yeah, in all the times I've had it, there is no hop flavor and aroma in it.
That's interesting about you that, Jamil.
I have more of the experience that Justin has,
which is
when I first see it in December or sometimes November, I get a six-pack because I like the beer, and it's all good. It's back, and I get it, and it's always had the same impression.
Yeah.
Well, this is an IPA with brown sugar.
So I'm not.
You're not. You must be on the back end of that.
Well, yeah, and I'm not. I'm not sure I can call it clone or not clone because, you know, based on both of you saying I've had it like this before, where it's hoppy.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, then you know, and I look at the recipe that was given, and the recipe that Mike brewed, which is true to what Jeremy was saying.
Right.
And what Mike has here in the glass is a beautiful example of brewing that recipe.
Yeah.
It's flawlessly brewed, and it's exactly what the recipe describes. Looking at that recipe, tasting that beer, it makes perfect sense. That's exactly what you're going to get based off of that recipe. Now, I think the disconnect is, like you're saying, you know, that the commercial example was brewed, you know, a while ago, and we're just lucky enough to find some leftover bottles somewhere.
Yeah,
and so we're kind of, you know,
it
changes over time.
Right.
You know, these are things that dynamically change over months. Yeah. And you've got a beer that's, you know, out of sync with you know, what's being produced. Right. I think if you held on to your beer for 6 months.
Right.
And then we tasted it again against, you know, this, it would be what we're tasting now. And, you know,
that would be interesting to see.
You know, taste it against the fresh one, and, you know, it would be completely different. Somebody farted in the studio.
Oh, that's the dog.
That's the dog.
Don't worry about that.
Dang.
I want to bring up something that kind of goes along with your surprise about the hops, too, Jamil. If you listen back to the interview, I'd like you to listen back to the interview this week, if you get a second. At the end of it, you're ready to wrap things up. And you have and Jeremy says, "Wait a second! I haven't talked to you about the dry hop,
right? Yeah.
Right.
Because
like,
you're fully not expecting this to be a dry hopped beer." And
right.
I think again, it just goes to show that it's a beer you've had when that hop character has fallen out of it.
Yeah.
You didn't ask about the dry hopping,
right,
not because
right.
you're retarded, right. But because you don't expect it.
Slightly.
But you see what I'm saying? I just think that even in your interview, you can tell that it's not something you're ready for.
I don't like dry hop.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as a brewer, and I like to think I'm sort of like one, but not, you know, obviously not professional, I see that in my own beers. I mean, I can, you know, I make IPAs all the time.
Right.
It drops out. Now,
and you didn't take, like, artistic license like here, Tasty.
No.
Well, that was my first question, and you know, I've got Pliny the Elder clone that you know turned out great, brilliant hop, and it's dry and crisp and you know, great hop intensity and all that. And you give it a few months, and then all of a sudden it's sweeter kind of a caramelly thing there, and not nearly as much hops.
Right. No. Hoppy beers you got to drink fresh. And
right.
It's not so much that they're spoiled.
What's the verdict?
I don't know.
Well, it's not cloned because, you know,
it doesn't match
clone.
the example we have.
The bottle
but
we have, right.
I think the verdict might be that we're going to have to be careful about, you know, the beers that we do try to clone to make sure that...
Right. If they're hoppy beers, we got to get them fresh.
Like you might have said, well, we can't do brown sugar because we couldn't get one that would be as fresh as...
We may have to go back to Jeremy...
Mm-hmm.
And give him this beer and let him give us some insight on whether, because he will know what it's like fresh.
Right.
He'll know what it's like. So I guess we could say it's not cloned based on our example.
Pending.
And we can give that to the listeners. Right. But
you want to call another witness?
I think we ought to give it to Jeremy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So
I mean, if I'm talking to the listeners, I'm saying, guys, neither one of you is ready to change the recipe, right?
I don't know what I would change because that's what Jeremy told us.
Well, and, you know, he gives such great information on the previous two beers that were cloned.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. So I'm thinking, you know, we're just, you know, the example we have, based on the information you guys have relayed to me, I think we just don't have the beer to compare it with.
God, I hate to have it leave it open ending, but I think you're right.
Right, right.
There is a rumor that Lagunitas may be our guest this Sunday. It's not. Chad didn't confirm it. If so, I'm just. It may happen sooner than later that we could actually give this to Jeremy and see what he says.
Cool.
Right. So this show will be in the podcast 6 weeks from now.
Yeah. Oh, and, true. You know, we might have to add an addendum to this show.
Right.
For you live listeners.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll record a little tack on whatever was determined.
Okay, if Jeremy's in this Sunday, I'll add that segment with him.
Yeah.
And we'll let him say cloned or not.
Right.
We'll let if you guys can agree to that, that he'll be the final decider.
All right, so we're going to a continuance.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I'll try to do that.
Yeah, that's the only way we're really going to know.
Sounds like a great plan.
I do have questions from the chat if you want them now.
Yeah.
Sure.
A lot of people missed how much brown sugar.
Oh, 0.61 pounds.
Okay.
It's not a lot of brown sugar. That's the weird thing, because I also thought that they must add a massive amount of brown sugar to this thing. But he was like, no, not really.
The hops, you know, might get in the way of the brown sugar a little bit.
Right.
Now, in 4 weeks, you may really sense the brown sugar even more, I think.
Huh.
Okay, and Tasty, you did cover this, but clarify again. Someone was asking, is it light or dark brown sugar?
The dark brown sugar, not the light.
Did Jeremy say that, or that was your...
He said that.
He did, okay.
Right.
They asked if we can taste the brown sugar in this beer.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would taste like, so I can't answer.
Yeah, it's real subtle. I mean,
well,
it depends what brown sugar you're trying to emulate. I mean, the beer that I buy in December, this seems about right. I can taste it, but it's not like over the top. The beer that Jamil tastes in March, it needs more brown sugar to be that beer.
Mm-hmm. Or needs some age.
Or some age, let the hops drip out and let the sugar show up.
Yeah.
Okay. And it looks like the last question from the chat is, should we use a hop tea instead? Is this the beer that Jeremy said, the hop tea that they use on? Was that Jeremy at all?
No, I know Sully's doing
We've done so many brewer interviews about hop teas. I thought it was Jeremy, actually.
Huh.
So they want to know if as homebrewers, we should make a hop tea for this beer. What do you guys think about that?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I don't know. The only situation I could see where you want to do that is if you thought you're dry hopping, if you're dry hopping in a vessel you didn't think you'd get. Yeah. It's
no, I think they were talking about in the boil, because he says so that we get a better hop utilization. So he wants to know about.
I guess if you have hop utilization issues, then I guess you might have to consider that. But
no, okay.
I wouldn't worry about it.
No, make it normal. Just let the recipe drive it. And if you beer needs to be hoppier, adjust the recipe.
Yeah, and the listeners are confirming. Jeremy does say that they use a hop extract in.
Extract. Oh, yeah. That's different. Yeah, so, for bittering. Yeah,
so right.
That's not.
So
hop tea.
when we formulated this recipe, we went ahead, and the reason they use extract is so they can get as much yield out of their system as possible.
They're not
dealing with a lot of hop mass at the end of the boil.
And that's not the same as us using a tea.
No.
Okay,
no,
that's different.
No. Right. So that's a isomerized alpha acid
alpha
extract.
Right.
What we did here was we. Calculated out how much actual hot pellets you would use in lieu of the amount of extract that they're using. So that's part of the recipe calculation that we've done for you. So,
okay.
Just follow the recipe as we've done it and use regular old pellets and you should
be fine. The same IBU contribution as the ISO extract.
All right, that's it from the chat, guys.
All right, so an interesting one, kind of a...
Another twist. Well, you know, we're kind of feeling our way through this sort of can you brew it thing.
Very
this is sort
interesting.
Of an interesting turn we took.
Yeah, I think you did an excellent job of brewing the beer.
I like
the
beer.
Recipe given.
Puts a smile on my face.
And everybody's drinking it like crazy.
I like the twist.
Yeah, we don't really know, and I think it's excellent if we can get the brewer to taste it and say what he thinks.
I'll be fascinated if he says that's a clone. That will turn into the beer you guys
that
know.
That would be very cool.
I really would be fascinated to find that out. It just goes to show you how much these things can change.
Right. Well, but you know, it just goes to show we're going to tell you the truth here. We can't sugarcoat it or
yeah.
You know, we'll give you the straight scoop and what we know and what we're able to do. And if we can't do it, we'll tell you that. And the things we can't do, we'll figure it out.
We'll try to find out what's going on.
One way or another, we'll get it done. So you send in your clone request to Kenya Brewitt at thebrewingnetwork.com. While you're there at the Brewing Network, go into the store. Buy yourself, some merchandise, and maybe sign up to donate a couple of bucks to the Brewing Network. Help keep programming like this going.
Yeah. And since it is potentially a failed clone, there has been some confusion about how we're treating. So maybe just want to reiterate. I've seen it on the forum, and I saw it in the chat room tonight. For example, someone wanted an update on Tasty's Firestone DBA.
Right. So worry not, gentle listener. We will come back and revisit anything that we don't clone, that we can't say is cloned. We'll come back and we'll keep working on it until we do say it's cloned. Now, something like that, we could probably knock out that clone pretty easy. The thing is, we're going to do a special show, which is going to kind of tackle all the ones that we missed. We're gonna have those rebrewed. We're going to say what we adjusted, what the changes were to get it to be a clone, and we'll do the blind tasting and all that again. And we'll probably knock out several, all the ones that that we missed on. We'll do all those at the same time in one show, probably.
Right.
Maybe a couple times a year. It'll be like a special, once or twice a year.
So don't look for updates around the site or anything. Just we'll tell you about when those shows are coming up, and those will be your updates.
Well, listen to every show, and then you'll have the information you need.
That's right.
Just works.
It's all right
way.
Here.
Yeah. We won't leave anything out. All right. So another fine episode of Can You Brew It? And I got some ideas of what's coming up next for Can You Brew It, but I don't want to commit at this time. We're still in the lab. We're talking to brewers. We're doing internet research. We're doing some analysis of beers and stuff like that.
Right.
And pretty soon we'll be brewing another one and doing another show. And we welcome you back anytime. And try and listen live if you can. Go to thebrewingnetwork.com. Click on that live button there, and you can participate in the show. Until then, brew strong.
Hey, BNers, this is Brewcaster Jay. As a supplement to this Brew Strong broadcast, Tasty and I interviewed Lagunitas on the Sunday session on April 19th, after this episode was originally recorded, to have them try Tasty's version of brown sugar and be the final judgment of whether or not this beer was cloned. Here's that portion of the interview. All right, Tasty, grab that microphone there. We're going to start. We got a little segment for you guys. And actually, Don, Mark, and Jeremy, we need all your help with it. And here's the deal. And Jeremy knows a little bit about this because he just did the interview for us. We got another show on the Brewing Network here called Can You Brew It? And our listeners, they write in to Jamil Zainashev and Tasty McDole here, and they challenge them to recreate their favorite beers. And as you can probably imagine, Lagunitas came up quite a bit. They sent in several requests for Lagunitas. So we're actually in the middle of this Lagunitas series where they've had to try to brew three of your beers. Now, we did the show the other day, and two of them, here's the standard when we do the show. They interview the brewers, and the brewer can then give as much or as little information as they wish to do so. Jeremy was very forthcoming about the recipe and the profile of the beers. And then they go off and they brew them. And then in studio, on the day of the show, we taste them. And there's really only, in general, there's one standard. It's either cloned or not cloned. We don't really fuck around with it's this or it's that. We just say you did it or you didn't. Well, brown sugar was a beer that Tasty brewed, and we were stumped when we evaluated the beer. And I'll tell you why. I've had brown sugar when it's properly aged. It's been on the shelf for a little while, and it blew my mind. It was fantastic. I've also had brown sugar when I think it just arrived at the shelf from the brewery, and it didn't. I was disappointed, in a sense, of what I had from the aged one. It tasted more like an IPA, or like some sort of a
huge hop.
Huge hop, exactly.
Like triple red, almost.
It didn't have that kind of a candy sugar type. I don't think you use candy sugar, but that profile, it wasn't there. So we're tasting this beer, and Jamil had never had it fresh. So he says, well, it's not cloned. That doesn't taste like brown sugar to me. Tasty and I, though, kind of went, I don't know. I've had brown sugar that tastes like this. So long story short is that we suspended judgment for you guys, because only you guys know what this beer tastes like straight out of the brewery. So I think what we're doing here is we've put Tasty's clone in front of you, and we want you to tell us, yes, this will turn into the brown sugar that you know and love.
It will.
Or no, Tasty fucked it up.
It looks like you've got a full one here to set off the side just to prove us wrong in a year.
Yeah, right. Well, in 4 months,
you've got
we'll
another
really
full
it.
Bottle.
That one said exactly.
Did I get that pretty close, Tasty?
Yeah, that's exactly the case.
Okay.
Yes, right.
So the guys are now tasting it for folks at home. They've each got a glass in front of them. And I've got one too? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me do that. And so, like I said, You could certainly tell us why or why not, and you could be as descriptive as you want, but the only standard here is cloned or not cloned, just so you know.
Well, I would say foam, it's cloned. Color, definitely spot on. It's cloned. It's nailed. And, you know, flavor-wise, it's cloned. I mean, it's...
Really?
If the differences are here, I'm struggling to put to words exactly what... It might be, which means it's cloned.
Before I cheer for you, Tasty, I want to hear from everybody from Lagunitas.
My only detraction from this one is it doesn't have quite the sweet smell. The aromatics aren't really pulling off this one like ours does. But
that's from
the
down.
Mouth, from the mouth to the foam to the color to the taste, everything else. Not quite the nose, but everything else. 100%.
All right, and Mark, finally,
I would give you this is brown sugar that's been on the shelf. It's not. Brewery fresh brown sugar that I'm tasting.
But it is, you would say, if I gave it to you and I said, this is my brown sugar, you would say to me, yes?
I would say a little different on the aroma, yeah. But it definitely passes.
Cloned.
Yes.
Cloned.
Yes.
I would, yeah.
Yeah! Tasty!
Good work, Tasty.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.